This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Property Show on The Morning Run. This is, of course, the show that guides you through the confusing realms of the real estate sector. I'm Melissa Idris, and I've got with me
Azura Rahman.
Good morning, Azura. We're going to be, in the next half an hour, looking at some of the important property news for the month of January. Now, kick off the year with a look at what to expect.
Well, we're kicking off this year's stories with the MRT. Obviously, it's caused a bit of an flurry of excitement amongst Klang Valleyites for the past month or so. It was launched on the 16th of December. Have you taken a ride on it?
Of course.
Have you? I feel so ashamed because I haven't.
I love it. It's got that free month, no pay, free rides.
And, until the 16th, guys. So, you know, I think this is possibly the last weekend to actually get a free ride on the MRT. But the great thing about the MRT is that despite all the, how shall I say it, the problems it caused during the construction of the line and, you know, properties being acquisitioned and so on and so forth, it has finally created a spike of positivity in the property market. And we've had quite a few commentators talking about how it's caused a 10 to 30% increase in value of property within the vicinity of stations that are within the vicinity of MRT stations. So property developer Datuk Sri Lim Keng Cheng told Bernama that the MRT project had given a drastic effect on the value of property. He said that it gave investors the edge and room to carry out big projects such as transit-oriented development projects. And also, a manager of a property portal, Sheldon Fernandez, said that the price index had increased by 10% on his portal, and gave examples of Glomac Damansara Residences, which has appreciated by 7 to 10%. And also the Plaza Condominium at Taman Tun Dr. Ismail has seen an appreciation slightly above 10%. And also the coordinator of the Town and Regional Planning Department at University of Malaya, Dr. Nikmatul Adha Nordin, had said areas where the price of properties is expected to go up drastically are Kota Damansara, Taman Tun, and also Sungai Buloh. So, wow, you know, these are great pieces of news coming up from the property market where we've...
Well, if you're a property owner.
If you're a property owner within these areas. But, you know, for any news of property prices going up is great for those who are, you know, who's seen their properties languishing on the market as how they have been for the past year or so.
So if I could share a personal anecdote, Azura, I live... so I rent a property, an apartment near the Pusat Bandar Damansara station. And recently, as recent as last week, my landlord came back to revalue the building. So he got valuers to come in and say, hey, you know what? It's this great proximity to the MRT. I'm going to see what this building is, what my property is valued at. And that really struck me. I was quite worried he was going to raise my rent.
But, of course.
But the first thing was that struck me was like, now he's valuing it. Because a year ago, when I first started living there, when they were, you know, the construction was crazy and the roads were all over the place and it was a huge mess, that would have been terrible to have valued it then. But now is prime time. And I'm sure he got a sweet deal after the results. But what do you think it means for people looking to buy, Azura?
The thing is, like in the case of your landlord, timing is everything, isn't it? And I guess for those who had the foresight to purchase properties within this area, possibly a year or two ago, would have made the right decision. Mm-hmm. But of course, now there'll be an increase in prices simply because I think the MRT itself has been so well received. You know, there's been glowing recommendations by those who have, you know, taken a ride on it, and they can see how it can be very useful to their daily commute. And I think the reservations that some have had for those who were living around the area, that there'll be increased congestion. There has been no such reports as of yet. So I think so far everyone's feeling quite upbeat at the moment. So I think for those who are seeking to buy properties within this area, yes, you will see that there's now a premium attached to such properties. And also, possibly, like in your case, you might see there might be a rise in rents as well.
Fingers,
you know,
crossed. I have it locked down in writing, so I'm all right for the next year.
For the next year. But, you know, the thing is, this just shows how development that is done in a thoughtful way, where you are actually servicing areas that need transportation hubs can actually increase the value of properties. And I think, you know, we do need that positivity within our markets that's been a bit down for the past couple of years.
Do you think that in the early days, you know, I remember when it was announced, first announced the MRT line and where the stations were going to fall, there was so much resistance, not in my backyard, right? NIMBY, is that they call it, yeah. So do you think now going forward, if we were to ever do this kind of project again, you know, HSR, the high speed rail is one thing I'm thinking about, people will be more like, hey, in my backyard, please, because it makes my property worth more.
As long as it's not literally in my backyard, I suppose. You know what? Malaysians have a very short memory.
Yeah.
In the sense that I think there will always be some kind of uproar when you have tracts of land that's being, how shall I say, sacrificed for development, when you have roads displaced and construction causing congestion and people being apprehensive of the noise of the trains will cause, the disruption will cause. I think, you know, unfortunately, people only realize the value of it once it's completed. It's like buying a house. Yeah. Buying off plan and buying something completed, there will always be a premium attached to what's completed, because now you can see in front of your own eyes how it looks like, how it'll be like to actually live in that house, as opposed to the notion or the idea of it. And that's a premium that you're paying for. And this is exactly what's happened here.
Well, the other big story, Azura, is the fact that the Highland Towers, there's land in the Highland Towers area that is now up for sale.
Finally, right? I mean, Highland Towers, I think it collapsed way back, more than 20 years ago. I think
1993,
so 23 years ago. It's been a bit murky as to, you know, what the situation has been in terms of its ownership, but I think it was announced sometime last year that AmBank had assumed ownership of the property and the land within its vicinity, and it put up the land for sale for the first time in 2013, as a matter of fact. Now, I think the fact that it was sold on the basis of as is where is, and in this case the towers has lain as how they were since that fateful evening in December.
It's like a reminder of the tragedy, right?
I mean, yeah. I have friends who live nearby to the property, and you do see it kind of looming, and you know, it is eerie. I think any Malaysian who was there in 1993 and saw the, you know, running news that was going on throughout the night of, you know, that landslide where so many people had died, would still be affected by it. And as such, you know, there's still been no buyers for this property. Now, this is prime land, mind
you. Yeah, because if you think about it, if you remove the element of the tragedy that happened, it's still considered prime land. Ulu Klang, Ampang KL.
Yes, you know, it's where UK Heights is.
UK Heights,
and,
right.
You know, there's a lot of posh bungalows within the vicinity of that area. And of course, you know, there's been lots of land within that vicinity that has been developed. But there's always the scare of landslides within that area, unfortunately.
Okay.
We've seen since the Highland Towers that there has been houses within Bukit Antara Bangsa and also within Taman Sri UK, where, you know, houses had actually suffered from landslides. And of course, I think, you know, there's that overhanging of that tragedy that kind of lingers around the place. So now the idea, the question is, who'd buy this piece of land that's been on sale for quite some time? Unfortunately, you know, it does come with a stigma. Henry Butcher's real estate COO, Tang Chi Meng, said that even banks would be cautious about that location. And if a developer were to succeed in making the acquisition, the banks themselves would need a good reason to finance the actual development.
Right.
At the same time, you know, if you are a developer today, any land purchase that you have, you need to be able to launch it immediately and generate money from that money that you spent on purchasing that piece of land.
Mm.
And I think, you know, a developer might find some trouble selling houses on that area still at this time and date, especially with a depressed market, with depressed prices and demand at the same time. So who's going to buy that piece of property? The speculation might be on Chinese buyers.
Right. So mainland Chinese buyers coming over and perhaps, because, you know, they've
parking
been buying
their
up,
money.
They've been buying up everything in Iskandar, Malaysia, right? So
Absolutely. Why not
here in Highland Towers?
There may be various reasons why mainland Chinese firms might want to buy such a piece of land here, or just park their money here, so to speak. Maybe various reasons to that. But they would probably be the best kind of buyer for a piece of land like this. You know, a 10 to 15 acre parcel like Highland Towers would be suitable for a high value location, which is what a lot of mainland Chinese buyers are looking at the moment. But, you know, seeing how feng shui and, you know, good vibes are very important to the mainland Chinese and even to a lot of those who believe in such things here in Malaysia, it'd be interesting to see whether they would attract that kind of buyer at the end of the day. But In the meantime, if you are interested, if you are a developer, is, you know, a big piece of land in Ulu Klang is up for sale.
There you go. Highland Towers up for sale. After this, we're going to be discussing news that Nam Ho Villa in Klebang Melaka could be gazetted as a heritage building. Details after this on BFM 89.9. Good morning, you're listening to The Property Show on The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris and I've got Azra Rahman here with me. Azra, tell us what's happening with Nam Ho Villa in Klebang. I mean, there's news that it could be gazetted as a heritage building?
It may get a stay of execution. Now, for those who are not familiar with the Klebang area to start off with in Melaka, as a child, I used to go there quite a lot because I had an uncle that was stationed at the army camp in Trinidad in Melaka. And Klebang used to be a very, how shall I say it, it's kind of where the posh people used to live. There are lots of mansions lining that road, which used to be beachfronting until it had been reclaimed in recent years. So you've got a lot of works happening at what was beachfronting area, prime land before in Melaka. And there's lots of old mansions lining that road. And I think today, if you were to take a drive to make your way to Hang Tuah's mausoleum, or if you were just to make your way to the famous Klebang Coconut Shake, you will pass all these houses. Now, one of them is Nam Ho Villa, which was actually opened in 1927 by Loh Kim Swee, and he was a figurehead within the Peranakan community. And this house has its share of historical value, as you know, our first Prime Minister, Tunku Rahman, held post-Merdeka meetings here between Chinese community leaders, including Tun Tan Cheng Lok, when he visited Melaka. Mm-hmm. And for those who live within the area knows that it was a popular Peranakan restaurant and then a beer garden before its demise in the 1990s. Now, the issue here at stake is that the owners of this particular beautiful villa, if you can Google the image they've put it up for sale, and I think basically there is a buyer and they're about to demolish it. So luckily enough, the authorities at hand have realized the historical value of it and have put a stay of execution, so to speak, for the house. And there's been a stop work order whilst they are carrying out the evaluations as to whether this can be conserved under heritage status, which I think is a huge win for conservation efforts here in Malaysia. Melaka, unlike Georgetown, does not enjoy UNESCO heritage status. I think it should, considering its place within our history and also the kinds of historical value lots of properties there do. So it's great to see that authorities have worked very quickly on this.
But do you think it's a little too little too late, though? Because again, a buyer has been found. They've had, you know, construction works. You can see there's cranes and trucks and tractors on site. So I feel like this is, like you said, a stay of execution, mm-hmm. right? At the 11th hour, this has happened. And I wonder whether this is just going to be a lot of heartache for all the different people involved.
Well, you know, Melissa, I think this is a success story, considering when you draw a parallel to what was known as Le Coq d'Or or Bok House here in Jalan Ampang in KL. And I think for those who are familiar with that house, and I think many KLites would be, it was a beautiful house on Jalan Ampang that housed Le Coq d'Or restaurant for many, many years. My parents' friends, for example, got married there in the 60s. The problem with that house, again, it was a private owner and it was, you know, sold under a private sale. And it was just demolished lock, stock and barrel with no efforts of conservation, even of, you know, perhaps removing certain elements of the house and rebuilding it elsewhere. And the reason that was given by the culture minister then, which is Datuk Sri Rai Isyatin, was that it was a private sale, there's nothing we can do, and it had no historic value. And of course, you know, we had people at Badan Warisan who was up against that kind of reasoning. And this whole idea of houses that are privately owned, that are being sold under private structures, yes, you know, as a property owner, you should have absolute dominion over the house that you own. Mm. But in this case, it's a house that has historical value, that's been left derelict for so many years because its owners had actually moved abroad. So
yeah, this is
talking
probably
about
like second, third generation.
Fourth generation, perhaps. Mm. So, you know, it is the granddaughter of the current owners who's actually acting on their behalf. It was just, I suppose, in a way, it was a transaction. I think, you know, there's always room to conserve our standing pieces of history. It's a house that's been around since 1927, which is an achievement by any sorts for Malaysian historical buildings. Yes, they're still standing. So I think it's great that, you know, that authorities are aware of the historical significances of the buildings. And it's something that I think we're moving towards the right direction. So I hope that, you know, I think the idea is that PERSDM, which is basically the Persatuan Museum in Melaka, is hoping to at least retain the facade or to be able to turn that property into a boutique hotel or a museum of sorts.
Right. You know what I hope? I hope that they use this as an educational opportunity to educate people like me who don't know the historical value of this house, you know, and rather than just make it a commercial opportunity, a restaurant or a hotel, but to use it to say, hey, kids, did you know this is what happened in this building? You know, in a small way, I've seen what happened in Penang with the heritage buildings, and I hope that there's more than a commercial consideration to preserving these buildings. Well, Azra, there's also news that Jamie Oliver, the celebrity chef, is set to split his large 10-bedroom mansion in Primrose Hill in the UK in half after he's had some trouble trying to sell this piece of this magnificent mansion.
I could not resist this story, Melissa, because, you know, it just shows that even the multi-million billionaires of the year, you know, even they are struggling in this downbeat property market.
They are not recession-proof, Azura.
They are not, you know, celebrity chefs with their faces all over pasta sauces and on, you know, every single TV screen, even they are not resistant to this. Jamie Oliver is set to split his large 10-bedroom mansion in Primrose Hill, which is a posh neighbourhood in London, in two after the double-fronted terrace failed to sell. So he put his property on the market in February last year at a cool £11.95 million.
Wow.
But the luxury end of the property market has been hit by economic uncertainty since the Brexit vote. So what he has done, which I think is quite resourceful of him, is to split the property into two to sell those houses at between £5 to £6 million each by turning the bottom portion of the property into a basement flat. Now, I think it's very resourceful of him.
Yeah.
And he also, I think a lot of commentators within the property market in London lauded his move, seeing that it is a practical thing to do. And they're probably poised to see more property owners of bigger ones, of bigger mansions, of bigger homes to do a similar thing to overcome this kind of downbeat property market in London as well, you know, that comes after the Brexit vote.
Because seriously, how many people can afford to buy a 10-bedroom mansion?
And who would need a 10-bedroom mansion?
He has a huge family, doesn't he?
He does. He's got six kids, or 12, I don't know how many. He keeps coming up with more of them.
Okay, well, you know, I do wonder, though, whether this means that you've kind of passed the era of the big home.
Super mansion,
right? Super mansions. And, you know, I don't know whether you've watched that. There's an element of aspiration or, you know, like a wonderment when you see people live in houses like these. But given the circumstances, I think going forward, that's not going to be the case anymore. Downsizing is the trend.
It is. You've got your Marie Kondoisms, you know.
Oh, yes.
And then you've got the tiny house movement. We had Matthias Gerber on a few weeks ago talking about his tiny home that he's building here in KL. I think people are moving towards a more frugal way of life, a more minimal way of life, and having a large home that needs a lot of caring for, that costs a lot of money to run at the same time. Maybe we'll be seeing more of that here. Maybe, you know, property owners here who've had their properties on the market for a long time maybe see that it may be subdividing their properties. So I don't know. But I think it's seeing the cost of land still rising here in KL. I think it's one way to go. And you see that in the Soho units, the Soho units, the smaller units that's being sold as it is.
Azra, that's all the time we have on The Property Show this week. Tune in next Friday at 9:35 a.m. for more insights on the most pertinent issues within the property sector. We've got news coming up right at the top of the hour. I'm Melissa Idris.
With Azra Rahman.
On BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.